The Scope is filmed before a live studio audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that knows when to hold 'em and knows when to fold 'em. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
The Scope Roadshow stops at Convergence, the merits of Superman Returns are debated, and your hosts enjoy a moment of sobriety to make sense of it all.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Welcome to Scope, The Scope, the one and only Scope. This is episode 8. I am one of your three hosts. I am Shane. As always, sitting to the left of me, happy as a clam, it's Adam.
That was some nice dancing there, Shane.
Thank you. That was my shoulder shimmy. And finally, it's Jared, one of my favorites.
I don't dance.
Right. He doesn't dance. He doesn't do much of anything except make the show run smooth, and it's all about perfection with this guy. So.
Well, maybe you want to save those accolades for the next episode when it's a little bit more controlled.
There we go.
We got some chaos coming up.
Yeah, it is going to be crazy. Now, some of you who are listening right now might be expecting the absolute craziness that was Convergence. We promised a live show recorded from that location. But unfortunately, it didn't quite work out for a number of reasons, and I think we'll delve into that as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
But I think before we get going, I think that it would be a real good idea to kind of give a general overview of what this show is for all of the probably tens of thousands of people that have learned about us from Convergence.
Please, and pace yourself. Our servers could only handle so much once.
Please, people, start tuning out because it's too much.
Please.
And
let the new people in first.
Exactly. So. So anyway, there's my first anyway. I think we need to have like a little ding. So every time I say that, you can ding me.
I can just punch you on the shoulder.
Yeah, a throat punch. The Scope really is a depository, if you will.
A depository?
Not a suppository.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I think some people might have gotten the wrong idea and are actually using the show inappropriately.
It started with Adam, I think. So, yeah, the Scope, we talk a lot about pop culture. We talk a lot about nerd culture. We will cover anything from Oprah Winfrey to the new and old Battlestar Galactica, although that's mostly Jared. We'll talk a little bit.
I have to wait till October to do that. I'm very sad.
Well, maybe you can give us a recap every episode.
You don't watch Stargate?
No, Stargate I watch. Battlestar Galactica,
I'm just saying.
Okay, fair enough.
It just started.
On the TiVo.
Yeah, okay.
You don't need to talk.
No,
Shane, in fact,
go.
Why don't you take a break? Adam and I are just going to have our own little show again.
Yeah, fair enough. So, yeah, anyway, beyond, there's number two. Anyway, number two.
Ding!
Ding. Not only do we talk about that nerd and pop culture stuff, but we might delve into a little bit of music conversation, ranging from the 80s all the way up into current stuff. And anything in between, we'll do culture of a political nature. We will do world events. I mean, we really cover everything here. And Adam brings a lot of that greatness to us, so I'm happy about that.
Not hot.
As he scoffs.
Oh. It's been a couple weeks since I've had sound effects
yeah,
handy, so I just,
good.
I might go overboard. I'm warning you folks.
For all of our new listeners who are wondering, will we get to know these three gentlemen? The answer is yes. We do talk about ourselves a lot. We do cut out a lot of the bad stuff, but we will keep some of that in as well to make each other feel terrible and foolish and that sort of thing. We also do reviews of all the hot stuff in pop culture. We cover news of hot pop culture and nerd culture.
Yeah.
And, what else? We really review the hell out of this stuff, pretty much. That's what we do. We review the hell out of it.
We tear it up. We spit it up.
Yeah. And I think the cornerstone of the show is our unique bits and interviews that really anchor the show and set us apart from all these other podcasts out there. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
I might quarrel with the uniqueness of some of it. At least the content of it is unique.
We do rip
maybe
off.
Maybe some of the concepts are borrowed a little bit.
We have no qualms about ripping off stuff from other people. And
right.
That's the way it is. But if you have 10 listeners, damn it, that's the way it's going to go.
We're
going to
have stripper trivia coming up.
Stripper trivia. So. Yep, exactly. The homeless trivia game. Right. We'll be doing that.
I saw that Jared's building a spanking machine, too. So it's
I've got
worse.
The plans online. I've got the lumber. I need to find a linear actuator somewhere, and then we'll be good to go.
But you're not using that for the show. That's just for your own personal use.
Hey, now.
Thank you. So, Last week was Convergence, and you heard us talk about it a few weeks ago. We had our special best of show to prepare for Convergence.
The one I was absent from?
Yeah, the poor Adam completely got X'd from. Not intentionally. We're all very happy that you're back, Adam. You're not off the show. So, Convergence is what? I mean, it is a giant science fiction convention that in which thousands of people? I don't know.
It's somewhat like the United States at the turn of the century, the giant melting pot.
And everyone was white.
Most everyone was, right. Yeah.
Like the United States at the turn of the century.
Exactly.
Well, last century. Well,
whatever.
You and your racial stuff. But it's, I mean, literally hundreds or thousands of people. I don't know. There's just a lot of people gathered.
Somewhere in the 3,000 mark, I think. Which is actually small compared to some of the, I think, the mini cons back when it was giant.
Yeah.
They were up in 5,000-6,000, I thought. They seemed bigger.
So, Convergence is big, and it's building. I mean, I think it gets bigger every year. It
seems to, yeah.
But it's not something that's as big as other conventions you're going to find across the country. But still the biggest in the Midwest.
I think it might be one of the bigger fan-run conventions in the country.
There's nothing going on with this.
Though. No. It's all run by a local science fiction and fantasy group called the Misfits.
Okay.
I don't know what that's. It's an acronym for something. I don't know what it stands for. But I think you go to misfits.org, you can find all about it. But yeah, it's just regular people.
They put it on
every year and... You know, they do a good job of getting some big profile guests. Not so much this year, but
that's okay. And this convention doesn't really have any specific focus or specialty of fandom or geekdom. Maybe you'll find people that love Star Wars, Star Trek, video gaming, role playing,
anime, literature. They have some live music, not a lot, but
you'll find people that hate all those things too.
Yes,
you will.
And his name is Adam, so it's great that you went. But this is something that it's quite a spectacle. I think I've gone there for 5 years. I've participated in the whole event in differing levels. So sometimes I was just there for a night. Other times, like this particular year, I was there all weekend long.
Yeah,
really enjoying it.
I've been to every Convergence except one, maybe the second or third one.
And what about you, Adam? Have you been there? You've been there one time before?
I went last year and hated it.
You hated it.
Hated it. I went to a panel about the coming zombie apocalypse, and that was kind of interesting until people dressed as zombies barged in, and the people in the panel seriously freaked out.
Oh, really?
I mean, they screamed and ran away, so.
You didn't buy into that. You went by yourself, though, too. I mean, you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't have friends.
I don't.
So what are you doing?
Is that Fred the cat has joined us and he's on Shane's lap and he has front claws. So
he hurt me. Yeah. But this year, a little bit different. You went. You know, we were there. You had some other friends that came with
right.
you.
Now afterwards, I don't have friends again.
Yeah. Did you enjoy?
How much did you have to pay for friends for the weekend?
Yeah. Did you enjoy it at all this year? I mean,
I did have a much better time this year. Yes.
Okay. Good. Well, I'm glad.
The alcohol consumption was probably quadrupled from last year too. So that.
So yeah, let's get into a little bit about what happened. While we were there, you know, why we're doing a kind of a post show rather than playing our entirely pre-tape show from last weekend. And I got to start off by saying, as soon as we got there, part of the goal, and Adam didn't come on Friday, and it was a Friday-Saturday type of thing. So right. Jared and I were there kind of scoping it out. No pun intended. But, you know, we get there, and the first thing we want to do is advertise. You know, so we're putting up all these signs all over the place thinking, hey, everyone's going to come and listen to our show and sit around. It's going to be great. It's going to be like, you know, 1920, the fireside chats. And
oh, yeah.
It's going to be great. So, you know, we make these really cool flyers, and we're posting them. And, Jared, what is the first thing we see as we're going to the first area to post up signs?
We saw another podcast called Dork Du Jour, I believe it was.
Yes.
And it was like, it's the way they had it advertised, what was it, geek culture or something, it seemed very similar to what we were already doing. And they were going to record a show like an hour before we planned to in the same location.
Exact same place. Yeah, I think they did everything exactly the same except on their picture they had like weird caricatures of their heads on it, and which we didn't because we have a cool design.
Because we really don't want anyone to know what we look like.
Exactly. And they we're not impressing anybody.
And they have a girl.
They do have a girl.
That's their other main appeal.
So, yeah, I didn't really know what to make of that, but I was thinking, boy... You know, we're in trouble now. We've got competition. We've got arch enemies, but...
arch enemies. For one flyer, we've already started a war.
And, so our goal in posting our signs really was to counter-advertise them. So every place they had a sign, we had a sign. And I'm not judging the Dorks du Jour. I have, you know, I've listened to some of their shows, and it's, you know, it's definitely not the same thing that we do. And they seem like nice people. And I think Adam actually might have talked to them later. or at least was around them. So I don't know for sure, but you know, we just were kind of getting our name out there, making sure that we were the number one podcast.
I did own one of their flyers with our card.
Yeah, you'll see that on the website.
Yeah,
yeah. Baby.
And we did interview the guy that was there.
Oh, good,
very nice.
Did they think to interview us?
No, they got the hell out of Dodge after they finished.
They
the
were
show.
Scared when they saw us.
Yep.
They didn't realize we had a street team.
Really, the street team being Jared and myself. So. What else happened? I think for both nights, a common theme was drinking, yep. drama, mm-hmm. discussion. I don't know. I mean, it was socialist
discussion.
You really wanted to get the other D in there.
If you guys can think of a really cool D word that you
disaster.
Know, disaster,
damnation.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did a lot of drinking. Dude. I think all three of us can admit to
yes,
that both nights.
Quite a bit. And interestingly enough, I was usually fine the next day. It was very odd.
I'm alcohol-free since 93. So
very nice.
I didn't.
Wow.
I was fine Saturday morning, but Sunday I was feeling the pain. And Sunday was the night that we recorded our show, and things got a little bit out of hand, and we're absolutely crazy. So.
Oh, yeah.
What else? Let me look at my notes here. One of my highlights was the Klingon wedding, which we'll get into, I think, as the show evolves. And
do we have to?
But basically, you all remember our friend Earl, who is not here today, and I'm not sure if Adam is happy or sad about that. But
and if you don't remember him, you'll get a taste of him later on.
Exactly. He'll be back in the show. But you know, he's been on the show a few times, and his big event for the weekend was participating in a Klingon wedding with his fiancée. Mm-hmm. So they dressed up in all the Star Trek outfits. He dressed up as Captain Kirk. She dressed up as one of those green dancers with the literally the green body paint.
Yep, the Orion slave girls.
They had real Klingons from either the television show or the movie. I don't know, but they didn't bother to dress up, which I thought
some
was
of
kind
them,
of funny.
Yeah, the actors who have played Klingons on the show were not dressed as Klingons.
And they were taking shots of booze the entire time.
But then there was the local Klingon group. Ah. Wow. It's like Bobby Brady over here.
That would be Peter Brady.
Whatever. The local Klingon group was, they were dressed up, as always, enjoying their hot sex.
Yep, they enjoyed it. So they set up this big thing right in the middle of the convention where they do a mock wedding, and mm-hmm. there's Klingon battling and stuff like that.
And me standing around.
And Jared standing around in his red Star Trek shirt.
I was supposed to be Captain Kirk's second, and I really just stood there, though. Yep. I didn't have anything to do.
Every picture of Jared at the Klingon wedding is him standing like a Star Wars action figure. He didn't move.
Well, I didn't have anything to do. What do you want me to do? I'm not going to do a dance. I'm not trying to steal the thunder from Captain Kirk. Besides, he'd just have me killed or something.
I would like to see a Star Trek dance from you.
Not in this lifetime.
Yeah. So I think that was quite an event. And while all this was going, we had a couple different crews, one on Friday night and then one on Saturday night, going mm-hmm. out and doing interviews like we did at MarsCon. I mentioned this two shows ago where Jess, who did those interviews, she was involved in this posse along with Adam and then a good friend of Jess. Or I don't even know if he's a good friend, Adam. You can verify that. This guy's name is Bill, and I called him the professional comedian because he actually goes out and does comedy in I don't know, comedy stores?
Comedy stores.
Comedy
yes.
stores.
It's where they sell joke books there.
Hand buzzers and that sort of thing.
Bill Young. Famous local comedian. I don't know about famous. Local comedian.
For our purposes, he's famous.
Right. He is very famous.
You know, Acme and stuff.
Acme's still around. It's the one in Knuckleheads. That's what's
Knucklehead.
Yeah.
It would have been Knuckleheads previously, too.
Okay. So, yeah, Bill will be showing up in some of our tape segments in mm-hmm. literally seconds. But they went out and combed the place on Saturday night, getting interviews from people dressed up anywhere from Borg-like creatures to fat Johnny Depp pirates and anything in between. And we'll be bringing some of those interviews to you in a very stylish manner and a show to follow, I think. So
precisely.
That'll be pretty exciting. Finally, why we're not playing our pre-tape show there. And I think this is going to be interesting. First of all, our big plan was we're going to be right in the middle of the floor, right next to the pool where everybody's
crowd,
walking around.
You're going to hear everyone yelling. Yep. You're going to grab people as they come by. They're going to sit down. It's going to be comedy magic.
We're
the best
up,
show ever. We'll
setting
be legendary.
Up all the mics. I mean, it's going to be, this is going to be the scope on wheels.
It'll be fantastic.
So we get down there. Jared's spending 15, 20 minutes setting everything up. Sweat pouring from his brow.
Way too complex.
Frustrated. When Jared gets frustrated, he gets snappy. And
what? No, what are you talking about?
And he gives me dirty looks.
He smacked Shane at least once.
Well, he was looking for a knockdown.
I was looking for a beatdown. So
we felt obliged.
We get everything hooked up. Jared hooks in the computer.
Yes.
Turns everything on, and what do we hear?
nothing but crackles and hisses and pops.
The
like
whole
bowl,
time.
Like a bowl of Rice Krispies. It was, I don't know, the power around by the pool area must have been dirty or something, and computers being are very susceptible to that. So we couldn't get any usable audio at all.
No. And we started, or at least the intention was to start taping the show around 12:30 a.m., and obviously, right. we didn't start setting up till about that time.
Yeah.
And I think once everything was set up, it was after 1.
Yeah,
and then
probably.
And then Jared sat and tried to create a great solution so we wouldn't have that buzz for probably half
probably
an hour,
longer 40, than I should have, yeah. But I was very frustrated at that point, and I just wanted to make it work. Yeah. And
so someone came up with the bright idea of taking the show upstairs into our hotel room and just, you know, going old school.
Yep.
Very uncomplicated, handing people mics and then just letting her rip.
I hate that person, though.
Yeah. And so in
come on,
the,
some good came from it.
In the process of taping that, we did get a show, and mm-hmm. we will present a few clips for you right now as to what that show was, and we'll kind of give some commentary as we go along. Let's play how I, the genius of the scope, you know, the smooth voice that kind of gives it the essence of the show. How did I start out the Scope Show from Convergence? Let's listen and find out.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Scope Show, Episode 8. We're recording live from MarsCon 2006.
Let's do take two and actually call it by the right name.
Starting off excellent right away.
I don't know why Jess sounds like she's being kidnapped.
Yeah.
This was about 5 minutes before Jess passed out. So.
Yeah. I would like to blame the booze for that, but as everyone knows, I tend to make a lot of mistakes, and that was just stupidity, I think. Anyway, so number three. We started again. I got the correct intro out, and then I went around the room to kind of introduce the rest of the people in the hotel room. And there were a lot, so this is just a sampling of that.
We've got a full house here. I think we count at least 7 people. Let's go around the room with the people with the mics. As always, we've got co-host number 1. That would be Adam. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
Good. I like that I'm number 1.
Yeah, that's how'd nice. That happen?
Number 1, because you're like urine. Number 2, we have Jared.
What does that say about me?
That means you're
wow. Now I got to bleep that.
That's the first A block cuss, I think, so far. So
it's a milestone to be commemorated every week.
Going around the room, we have reoccurring guest and all-around sexy girl. It's Jess.
I like to move it.
She does. She's got fluorescent necklaces on.
And she's because she showed her
so
boobs.
Do you.
And she's drinking cider.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Finally, we have a new guy in the house. It's Bill. You'll be hearing a lot from him in probably the next 18 shows because he's doing a lot of interviews from Convergence. Yes. He's a professional comedian, and it's the only professional we've ever had on the show.
I've made $18 so far.
So that wasn't bad. I mean, Adam laughed a little bit right here. So far, so good, right, Adam?
Well, you are pumping laughing gas into the room.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm poisoning everyone at the same time.
Whatever it takes to get it done.
If you guys couldn't tell, we were all drinking. At least I was drinking. I know that for sure. And I wanted to find out what everyone in our hotel room happened to be drinking at the time. So let's listen and find out.
Anyway, we've had a lot to drink. Let's go around the room.
We're
going to
lose our family-friendly rating.
What people are drinking tonight? We'll start with Jared. What's his drink of choice?
Everything, pretty much. No, it's something from the Mike's variety pack. I believe it is the berry.
Berry? No, yeah, no specific berry. Jess, what are you drinking tonight?
It's not specific.
So masculine, because with Jared on the mics, I feel very butch with the hardcore ace strongbow trifecta.
Queer.
Adam, drink of choice?
I don't know, but our show's been taken over, so...
Yeah. By who?
Sure what's going on.
Professional comedians?
Yeah, well, and Jess. She's and Jess. Who's not professional.
That means I can take a nap.
I've just been drinking ciders. Because it's too difficult to drink the vodka tonics that require.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it requires too many bottles. Two.
Then finally, Bill, liven it up quickly. You're a comedian.
Well, what I'm drinking right now is.
I said Bill, not Jess.
Try to Krusty the Clown show up. Who invited him?
What I'm drinking right now is a. Jack and Coke, and it's actually almost gone, so I'll probably be drinking cider shortly. And not because I'm gay, okay? Cause
you ever notice airports?
Ah, yeah.
Note to self, edit that out.
It isn't web junk 2.0. Thank you.
I don't know what that means.
You just called them Patrice Mitchell, by the way.
Terrible. So what were you feeling at that point in time with the show, Adam? Because I can see a little sense of disgust on your face.
It's almost painful to listen back to.
Yeah, I know. I drank a lot that day. Yeah. And for whatever reason, I sobered up immediately. But everyone else was still...
If you only bottle that stuff and market it, the instant
right.
sobriety.
Everyone else was still wasted and loud and having fun. And so like when you're the one that isn't, you know, I was just like, oh, God.
So wet blanket.
I was in kind of getting to that place myself, too.
Yeah. And I was still fairly tanked at the time. And I was really...
I think you got worse as it went on.
Yeah, and I was really doing my best to keep it together because I knew that I kind of had to, you know, keep talking and keep everybody on track. And it was tough.
I feel bad that I sound so morose.
And yeah, you were morose, but it gets better.
Yeah.
So I think at that time we probably had 6 or 7 people in the room, and shortly after that we had more people come barging in, including Earl and Earl's fiancée Holly and their good friend Angie, and they were still dressed in their Star Trek gear. So Earl comes in as Captain Kirk, the girls come dressed in their dancing girl outfits with their green...
The Ryan Slave girls,
that's what they're called.
Green makeup on, everything.
And let's just play this clip and see how that sounds.
So we are at Convergence. They have... Okay. Uh-oh.
Surprise guest.
Got to knock on the door, people. This is pretty exciting.
What happens when you're doing live
guest
in a public setting.
Thank you.
People show up.
We'll take over.
We have a surprise guest here. Oh, my God. Is Captain James T. Kirk here? That's...
Hi.
We brought women.
Oh.
Fantastic.
And he brought girls that are... camouflage?
Yes.
They are camouflage.
I mean, it's...
Wow. Dead air.
Yeah.
We are literally recording A Block.
Broken in, and now I'm forced
to Spanish
edit.
Me.
Wow. We could
Jared, I can't control
How
this.
Do you contend with this?
You
this
can't.
Is craziness. Oh, no.
So there you go.
Camouflage.
Camouflage girls coming in. We couldn't see them.
I think that's when John showed up, too.
Yeah, also our good friend John, who helped sabotage me on the Hit the Post game show earlier. So he may or may not be on the show because of that.
Again. Yeah.
Okay, well,
at least a 3-episode ban.
Let's keep pushing this. We want to stay on time. We want to stay on task. Our next clip involves us talking about what we love and hate about Convergence.
We're going around the room. We're talking about Convergence. What do people love about it? What do people hate? We'll start with John. Go ahead.
Which one? Love or hate?
Take it away, you know?
Well, love because you let yourself free.
Boy.
You know, and you just get to explore your inner self. And then hate because you're exploring your inner self and you realize what you've become.
Which is
and
what?
It's I don't know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
It's what? It's 2:30 a.m. So
2:30 a.m. Jess, are you saying that Adam, please bring us back to reality.
What happened to your shirt?
I love drinking and now hate John. So that's where I am.
And finally, Earl.
I love the booze. I love the party. I like getting dressed up and drinking heavily. I like the mass amounts of cleavage, and there you go. I hate the naked old men with whips, though. I do not like the naked old men with whips.
Is it because they chase you?
Yeah. They do not taste like chicken.
Earl, I have to say something.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Jared.
You've got this blemish on your nose.
Another guest coming in the house.
And that was from a fight.
And it has nothing to do with... I've been looking at it all night, and it looks like a little army man.
You know what? It used to look like Metroid walking backwards shooting.
I'm telling you, it's like an infantry soldier.
Yeah, no, oh my God. Look who just walked through the goddamn door.
Boy.
That might be our cue to wrap up the A Block.
Ladies and gentlemen...
What do we got on tap? Today?
Flip the record over to find out who entered the room.
Ah. There's no host of the show. We are in first segment of Convergence 2006.
No, wait a minute. You know, if anybody asked the question, you'd have to ask would be our guest.
Well, we'll get to that. Trust me.
Wow.
I like that.
off the rails.
Apparently, no one in that room had ever watched or listened to a show with hosts before.
Yeah.
No. Because, like, as much as I goof on the show and I say, like, you know, it's just, like, the silly thing that we do, it's, like, still, you know, usually the show is driven by the people that are in charge.
Yeah, the people doing the show.
That was complete disregard for that.
Jared, I have to ask
you
to explain the comment about Earl's face. About his nose, because a lot of people wouldn't understand what that means. So let's explain the joke after we told
give it some
it.
Well, basically, context. Without getting into the details of what happened and to preserve Earl's dignity.
Earl has nose
cancer. Well, very close, possibly. Oh. No cancer yet. He just basically had a big scab on his nose from a situation. And
at that situation. He doesn't want to get into it.
Well, I'm not going to sit there.
A torture and, session. He got a bad sunburn.
He got a bad sunburn and
open sore.
Opened and infections and he almost lost an arm. But at this point, it looked like one of those little green army men. It was standing up, holding his rifle, pointing at the enemy.
He will recover, though, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Make okay. a full recovery.
Yes. Great.
Yes.
Okay, to let's wrap up this this bedlam with our final clip, and it's really just a hodgepodge of drunken madness and excitement. And
you can just tell the show is deteriorating at this point.
So yeah,
have trouble with that word.
We've got Bill, we've got Jared making a comedic funny in there. I mean, it's all good, and then Earl and Bill go at it at the end. So let's play it.
Bill off mic is laughing at me, famous comedian. No,
you are. Yeah, I carved that.
Like everyone's like, oh, Bill the comedian, yes.
Hate.
I remember him. I remember back in the Great Depression, and he made my family
laugh. Well, Bill, okay, hater of all handicapped people.
Why do you hate me? Does that mean he hates me?
That's true. Because hold the mic up to him.
And what are you
quick.
Wearing? A green shirt with a grenade.
It's an F-bomb.
Oh, I get it. F-bombs. Because he's going to drop one.
Uniform of the average person. Worst
beat him up. He's about to be beating
ever.
Me.
I need to pot him
not
out.
Not him, you.
Come on.
Oh, I don't really do
I'm
it.
I'm three whiskey strong.
I know.
Wow. Adam is holding his head in agony. It's hilarious.
The F-bomb I'm reliving wanting to go home so
dropping
badly.
The F-bomb is foreshadowing.
Four in the morning.
But at least it's not happening right now.
Well, it almost it feels like it is.
Wow, that hurts. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah, that was our convergence.
And now you might understand why we're doing this now.
Yeah, it was complete bedlam. People didn't listen to us. They didn't pay attention to how we do the show. I guess that's what happens when you throw mics in a room. And
I think that what that means is our good friends haven't listened to the show.
No, and that's devastating. So let's embarrass our good friends. As the day goes on, I think we might as well get into what this show is going to be about. Beyond Convergence.
Baby.
What about Convergence are we going to cover? Well, in just a few short minutes, we're going to have a fantastic exclusive Scope interview with super songwriter, parody expert Luke Ski. Jared's worked with this guy before.
Yes.
And boy, he's got a lot to say. Can't wait for that. Coming up on Under the Scope, we're going to take a look at some news stories, as we usually do. Going to be reviewing the movie Superman Returns. Now, I know it's a little bit out of date on that, but, you know, that's what we do here. We cover things 3 weeks after they're done. And we'll also go delve into the Scope Debate Club. An in-depth battle over Superman Returns. We're also going to cover what's coming soon in the world of pop culture, world of geek culture, all that stuff. DVDs, movies.
Stuff you can spend your money on.
Exactly. Stuff that we probably will spend our money on. And you will also check our listener mail and wrap the show up. So there you go. That's that's Scope Episode 8.
You don't even need to listen now.
You don't even
know.
You've gotten the highlights. Yep. Tune out now.
It's like a movie trailer. You don't need to pay any more attention. So let's take a short break, and we'll be back with the great Luke Ski.
You get nothing!
Let's listen in as friends and family of the Scope talk about how the creators of the show, each in their own special way, impacted and inspired their lives.
Hello, this is the great Luke Ski. The life of a globe-trotting dementia superstar truly is everything it appears to be. The adoring fans, the spectacular live shows, the merchandising opportunities, it's all good. But true greatness had eluded me until the day Jared asked to record me reading this page of seemingly impromptu text. At last, my career would be legitimized by the close association with the legendary podcasters known collectively as The Scope. At last, I could consider them my broadcasting brethren. It fills me with pride that I am now one step closer to the high peaks inhabited by Shane's artful hosting and Adam's insightful commentary. So keep kicking ass, fellas. I now know greatness, for I have borne witness to yours. Buy my CDs at www.lukeski.com. You're listening to The Scope.
Thanks for sharing. If you'd like to tell the world how The Scope has changed your life for the better, send your audio comments to comments@thescopeshow.com. Now, back to The Scope.
Thank you, Luke Ski, for recording that bit for us, even after taking your double dose of Ritalin.
Wow.
You really put your heart into that. We appreciate it.
I had no idea his stage name was The Great Luke Ski.
I don't call him that, but a lot of people do.
It's right here. It's on our sheet, stage name.
Luke, baby, you got to earn it. That's all they're going to say.
He's been doing it for a decade. Come on, give him some credit.
Okay. The good Luke Ski. Sorry, Luke.
The
not so bad Luke Ski. The pretty good Luke Ski.
The 7 out of 10 Luke Ski.
Yep. He's getting there. He's working. Is it me or does Luke Ski kind of reminds me of like a Mark Hamill a little bit. I don't know why, but I get like a young Luke Skywalker.
Did you get
character.
That feeling in your stomach when
I did.
Into the
Yeah.
Wow.
He cares. Anyway, number 4 and counting.
At least.
One of the big things we did at the show was an in-depth interview with the great Luke Ski. He was kind enough to come into the mobile studio upstairs.
Into the abyss.
Into the drunken stink fest that was the Scope Studio Theta.
And an interesting point, Luke does not drink,
no.
So I'm sure it was just utter chaos.
While he was watching in horror, and I think there was a bit of horror in his face, as he sat down with me and I went mano a mano in the Scope exclusive interview.
Now it's time for the Scope exclusive interview. We ask the hard-hitting questions, even if you don't want us to.
Welcome back to Scope Episode 8. We are recording live from Convergence 2006.
You seem to be fond of number 8.
I do. Is that the episode we're working on?
Yes,
or
it is.
And Shane, I don't think we can record taped.
What's that?
It's always going to be record live.
I'm old school.
All right, just saying.
Anyway, we're sitting here with rock legend, Luke Ski. It's very exciting.
Why are you guys laughing?
Sleep with me, Luke.
Why are we laughing?
Oh, my God.
Luke, thank you. I told you, I think yesterday I was going to talk to you. You had no idea who I was. You still don't.
I assumed that you were a Scope-related person.
You didn't assume that. No. So let's get this going. Luke, how are you famous?
If I'm famous, it's news to me. I mean, it's like, you know, I whenever people call me famous, I think to myself, you know, if I was famous, I wouldn't have to put up my own flyers.
This is true.
That's very true. So you're here, you're a singer, you're a rapper.
I do.
What are you here for?
I do comedy songs, parodies, and some originals on pop culture and fandom-related topics. And I go to about 24 conventions a year and perform my songs live and then sell my CDs, and that is how I make a living.
Well, with that statement right there, you went through my first 8 questions.
Okay.
Devastating.
Thanks for stretching
out. 8 questions. It's episode 8. It all ties together.
Segment done. How many CDs do you sell? I say that's 8. That's
a lot. Well, I have released 6 full-length professionally produced albums. I am currently selling 6, although one is a compilation of my first 2 CDs, which are out of print, and the other is a collection of all of my Star Trek humor on one CD entitled Trek What You Like.
What does out of print mean?
It means that I don't feel like paying the money to put them back in print.
Fair enough.
So I basically took all of the best stuff from those 2 discs, put them on one disc, and you know, basically let my fans get their hands on the rare stuff that they are demanding without me having to drop, you know, a grand and a half with the CD printer just to get to sell a CD that isn't going to sell rapidly enough.
Okay. Quickly.
Do your fans ever get their hands on you?
When I'm single, which is never.
Oh,
you're never single.
I've slept with Luke 3 times. So,
Luke, people are saying that you are on some sort of Hot 100 list with Dr. Demento.
Well, yes.
Hot 100.
I heard somebody is keeping track of the top 100 of all time.
Really?
But,
well, that's good.
But basically, Dr. Demento, at the end of every episode, does a Funny 5 countdown, the top 5 most requested songs of the week. As the year progresses, those top 5s are tallied to figure out by the end of the year what the top 25 most requested songs of the year is. And I have had I've had a song in the top 25, the top 5 of the top 25 of the year for the past 4 years running.
Square root of 81.
Bacon.
Lincoln. Bacon is not a number.
The perfect answer.
I don't know what you said there.
He said bacon.
My sources say Dr. Demento isn't a doctor.
His name is Barry Hansen. He lives in Lakewood, California, and I make money because he exists. So,
Bill, you're a comedian. Say something funny.
Bacon.
bacon.
Wow, it's a callback. That's professional comedy.
Luke, there's one. Luke, there's one reason why I wanted you here. Thank you. You are you're a fairly famous guy within the con circles.
Yes.
What kind of tale do you get?
it's kind of weird because you guys were discussing what type of geek are you?
Yeah, go ahead. That's my next question, by the way.
Well, basically going into I've been doing this for about 10, 11 years now, and going into doing all this stuff, I was like, you know, really insecure, really, you know, shy with the ladies and that stuff. Yes. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true.
I don't buy it.
And then I basically got into my most serious of the relationships I had in 98, 99, which led to me getting married. And, you know, and I have, it's kind of odd, but, you know, during those years, I basically kind of gained the, you know, confidence in myself that actually, you know, makes other women find me attractive. But
yeah.
I was then married and, you know, couldn't do much about it. And I have since gotten divorced, and she and I are still good friends. But,
wow.
You know, I basically went straight from the divorce into another relationship. So I really haven't had a chance to be single ever since I've gotten to the point
wow,
where I can actually attract women.
Come on,
why
Luke.
I love you too, buddy. Let's eat some bacon and have some beans. Woohoo! I love beans. Woohoo! Oh, wait, I better not sing that. You might have to pay
a
royalty.
This is your child, Luke.
Anyway.
What the hell happened?
I don't know.
I asked about Tail. Have you had any wild experiences
doing
this stuff?
I'm muting you.
Well.
First of all, yes or no?
I did talk. Not only did I talk seven women into dressing up as cheerleaders for me, I got them to buy their own uniforms.
That's power, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
That makes me the pimp of the geek nation. So
I guess so.
She's there.
Now, Luke, I want to talk about your haircut a little bit.
Yes.
But the problem is I had this whole bit planned because it was kind of like a reverse mullet.
Uh-huh.
Party in front, business in back. But you've kind of grown it out.
Well, basically,
that's because he's partying all the time.
Basically, I've had the same generalized bowl haircut since birth. I've just tried to become more of a Mac with it, you know, lately. Yes, like, you know, like skater bowl haircut for the most part. So, you know, like He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Weird Al, douche or not a douche?
Most definitely not. He is the coolest celebrity I've ever met. He's nicest to his fans ever. Even with that haircut.
Spiral perm.
Yeah.
Is that natural?
That is natural.
Weird Al.
There's another show going on somewhere else in this room. What the hell?
Mustache or not mustache?
Are you asking me if that's the way it is or what I prefer?
You take it however you want to take it, I guess.
Well, at the moment, he doesn't have a mustache, and I think he's going to keep it that way for his promotional.
Luke Ski, average length of your songs.
Ooh, that's a good one.
What do you think I was going to say?
She was thinking something phallic-related.
Hey, penis.
Luke Ski. Average length of your penis. I mean, let's just get it out
yes.
there.
Well,
the correct answer is bacon.
Luke
yes.
Ski, the girth on your songs.
The girth, because that's what women are looking for.
Circumference.
God, even with the green makeup, she's turning red. Wow, that's awesome.
But you can't tell because they're complementary colors, or they're contrasting colors. That's it, damn it.
Anyway,
that's correct.
I try to keep most of the songs that I'm trying to get Dr. Demento to play within the, like, 3.5 to 4.5 minute range. Mm-hmm. Depends on, you know, what the concept of the song is. I did a kind of a triple threat Eminem parody about Lord of the Rings that ended up at 5.5 minutes, and Dr. Demento played it because he really liked it, and it was my biggest hit on his show thus far. It's called Stealing Like a Hobbit.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yep. I do have a couple of songs that are kind of super-duper bonus, you know, Sam's Club-sized songs.
We don't say
so
super-duper on the show, by
oh,
the way.
Oh, okay.
We don't say it.
It's been outlawed since the second episode.
Luke Ski, top hats, hot or not?
I would say yes, they are hot.
Hot. Correct. Song parody expert? Are you?
Was that a question or a statement?
I would say, yeah, I'd say I'm a song parody expert.
If I were to give you questions
revolving answer?
Around that, could you answer?
Probably.
So, okay, I'm going to give you a list of song parodies. Can you tell me if it's existing in the real world or not?
Okay.
Number one, Addicted to Spuds.
Yes, that's Weird Al.
What album?
Polka Party.
Poke a party.
Earl concurs.
Since you've been con.
I have not heard of that one, so I would have to say no.
You're correct. Okay. Who left the cock out?
Is that not about chickens?
I have not heard that one, so I would have to say no.
No, you're correct.
Who let the cock out?
Smells like Nirvana.
That's a real parody by Weird Al from the
Someone
Off the Deep End
album. Door.
Well, if we're only giving Weird Al ones, I mean...
Well, it's okay. It's a Weird Al expert.
Okay.
Shut up, Adam.
Sorry.
You haven't talked the whole damn segment. Now you're trying to bust my bubble. Bubble. Girls just have the runs.
No.
Actually, Earl made that song.
Talking from experience.
You don't have a mic. Heaven is a place on earth.
That's a reason for suicide. What
exactly.
The hell?
Thank you, Lukeski. Eat it.
Yes, real.
Also the name of Rosie O'Donnell's new book.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
And get your geek on.
That is not a real parody, but I did actually think of that as a possible. If I ever got picked up by a record label and wanted to, like, you know, release a compilation of all my best rap songs, that was probably what I would call it. Either that or Nerdy by Nature.
Do we have a connection? Is that what you're saying? Nice. What makes one great?
Basically, if you show up and, you know, do what you want to do and kick ass, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, because knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe!
Hulkamania, running wild! Luke Ski?
Yes.
You are... song parodist.
Yes.
You are respected.
Am I under oath here?
You are under oath? No, I'm just saying you are great. Yeah. Finally, Lukeski, we're going to go to 10 questions.
Okay.
10 questions.
What is your favorite word? Good guess, answer fast.
I'll just go with bacon. I'm sorry. I'm just going to go with bacon for the time being.
Interesting.
What is your least favorite word?
I'll say hypocritical.
What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally? Boy. Edit button, Jared.
I have no edit buttons.
Can I give more of an inspiration? Is that
please?
All right, Jim Henson.
Nice. Okay, what turns you off?
Why is that funny?
Just you know.
You told me it was big butts.
Podcast just, masquerading as entertainment.
I just say people who are just like satisfied with, you know, the bland entertainment being churned out in the world.
What is your favorite curse word, Lukeski?
I'll go with Bill Murray from Ghostbusters. It technically might not be a curse word, but I just really like it. Mother pus bucket.
What is your favorite sound or noise?
Okay. Well, besides Buff Love the human beatbox, may he rest in peace. I'd have to go with this noise here.
What sound or noise do you hate, Lukeski?
Babies crying.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Animator.
What profession would you not like to do?
Assistant crack whore.
If heaven exists, Lukeski, what would God to say to you? Adam, please.
So does that mean crack whore would be fine? Just not assistant crack whore?
Wants to be an assistant.
Okay.
Duh. No one.
I am fine.
And by the way,
that was
my obligatory Norm MacDonald reference of the night. Yes. So.
If heaven exists, Lukeski, what would you like God to say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Come on here, the bacon's crisp.
Wow.
Oh, man. So many things. I am thinking of things to say. I just don't want to say them on a public podcast.
Do it.
We beg you to select.
Meet your roommates, Jim Henson and Buff Love.
The audience in this room is bigger than the average listener base.
You're making him squeak, Shane.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, everyone. Luke's got inspiration.
All right. I'd like God to say, it's a good thing you got here. Lindsay Lohan's been waiting for you.
Nice.
There you go. Luke Ski, lover of parody, lover of overrated actresses, lover of conventions. I'm not. Luke Ski, we thank you. Luke Ski, we speak your name. Luke Ski, this has been The Scope.
Feel free to throw a .com after
you
say Luke
quickly,
Ski.
Luke, is there anything you want to plug before we go? We know you love plugs.
Yes. My website is lukeski.com.
Yes.
That's lukeski.com.
Please spell.
Where you can pick up my CDs, Unconventional, Worst Album Ever, Uber Geek, and more. You can listen to my streaming internet show, Dementia Revolution, Thursday nights
Ladies,
at 9 p.m. Central. On Dementia Radio. You can find out more about that at DementiaRadio.org. So, just keep supporting funny music because
we
it's
do.
Way better than all that crap that's on the regular radio.
Luke Ski, thank you for coming. Good luck in San Diego in August.
Yep.
I think you'll do fantastic.
San Diego, that's in like 2 weeks, isn't it?
Oh, wait, yeah, you're right. That's
is
yeah.
it two weeks?
It's Gen Con's in August.
Okay.
And then Dragon Con is in September.
We have no doubt that you will wow them and you will be a superstar.
It'll be on G4, obviously.
I hope so.
I'm sure, like, in 3 weeks later, it'll be on G4. Well,
I obviously. Speak for the entire room when I say, Weird Al, look out. Everyone, this is The Scope. Thank you, Luke Ski. We will
Thank
be back
you.
Right after this.
Oh, but we'll be back right now. What do you
yeah.
think, Adam?
Are you guys still listening?
have you tuned out?
It's okay to come back. It's okay. I don't know. It was good, I guess. I was funny, so yeah, that's all that matters.
Anyway, we're short on time, so I'll just thank Luke Ski again for sitting down with a few drunk people and spilling his guts for us. If you want to get more information about Luke Ski, go to his website, www.lukeski.com. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say and a lot to sell to you, and that's why we love him. So let's take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shout-Out of the Day.
Please welcome Emma Thompson.
That was the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shout-Out of the Day. You go, girl. It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hey, we just played an interview with the great Luke Ski, so it's only fitting that we play one of his songs.
Yo.
Currently pillaging the Dr. Demento Funny Five, this is You Don't Know Jack, right here on The Scope.
Jack Nicholson's an actor, and Jack Black, he rocks for laughs. Jack Skellington's the Pumpkin King, with jolly epitaphs. Bruce Campbell played Jack Styles, who was the jack of all trades. And Jackie Chan did his own stunts, while juggling live grenades.
All of these Jacks, beloved, they all go the straight and narrow. But none of these Jacks holds a candle to Captain Jack Sparrow!
Savvy? Play those drums, you perforin' percussionist! Pound of lead, pound them!
The pirates of the Caribbean sailed the ocean blue, led by Captain Barbossa and his own skeleton crew. They ransacked old Port Royal and they took a gold doubloon, so that they could break the curse and see their skin under the moon. When Jack had met Will Turner, he knew he was Bootstrap's son, so he broke out to guide him like a drunken Obi-Wan. Will Turner saved his girlfriend and they broke the Aztec curse, and we summarized the whole damn film in just one leading verse.
Yeah, it got two pages up.
When young is watched with violent side, that's when no rings to do. Despite he had the wedding date, his coupling days were through. The pearl in the horizon, and there was no looking back. If you've never seen the movie, then you don't know Jack.
Don't bump the mic, I'm bootlegging this song.
Are you going to sell it?
Yeah, I'm going to burn it into a CDR. I frequent the cantinas, drinking up between ordeals. But I dislike when cannibals invite me to their meals. Aboard the Flying Dutchman, after seeing every griever, I took one look at Davy Jones and said, I'm a believer. Meanwhile, Will and his leggy lass became a bride and groom.
decided he would help him elf, and then he lowered the bloom. He took Elizabeth to town, though it may seem unsightly. Now everyone in Royal knows who does Keira Knightley.
I'd buy that for a shilling.
Yeah.
So come on all and sing a song about our favorite crook. He's sure not finding Neverland, but at least we got a hook. Go walk the plank and take a dap and just ignore his black. If you think that he's on Wonka, then you don't know Jack.
Ah, this singing is horrible. What key is this song in?
I don't know, the dog's got the key.
Come on, boy, he's a nice key. I met a buxom barwench whose husband was laid to rest. So I decided to help myself to that dead man's chest. She said, back off, you scallywag, which was to my dismay. But soon after, I taught to her the meaning of parlay. Once Pintel and Rigetti looked depressed to my surprise. They fancied Barney Poppets, who had caught their working eyes. They asked me,
how do you get pleasurable company?
I just say yo, ho, yo, ho.
A pirate's life for me.
I've got a fast pass for you, Lancey.
From Orlando to Anaheim, he'll take you for a ride. So you just remain seated, keep your hands and arms inside. Forget the flash photography and enjoy the attack of 100 looting robots here that all know Jack.
Why is the rock gone?
Cause we're in a Disney park!
Born royal to Tortuga, all the scruffness he will woo. Across the squeaky Richards and that cook that he'll appeal. He's golden on the silver screen while you enjoy a snack. And if you don't know the code, well then you don't know Jack.
Forget leverage, I want cleaverage!
Remember, dead men get no tail!
You don't know Jack!
Now, back to Shane and... Who are those other guys?
Under the Scope.
This is Under the Scope, your one-stop shop for all things pop and geek culture. This is the place
nice
where...
Nice rhyme.
Very nice. This is the place where we give you the latest news, news that interests us, the latest reviews of things that interest us, and the latest things coming soon, also which... interest us. So let's stop talking and let's get into the news. What's happening today on the news, Adam?
I need a fake news name now to go along with that.
Adam Walker, the news.
Just two stories. One is very nerdy, kind of. I'm wavering already. It's about Sony introducing their new memory stick and what many people believe is an attempt to... kind of what they're doing to answer the killing off of the UMD. UMD is the Universal Media Disc?
What's yes.
The, okay.
Yeah, something like that.
That they use for the PSP when
PlayStation Portable.
Right, right. When it first launched, when the PSP first launched, the UMDs, that's the media that the games and movies that mm-hmm. Sony is selling and other studios.
Do I have a PSP?
Yes. You do.
Do I play it?
No.
Have you ever watched a movie on it?
I've put in the free Spider-Man that came with it and watched about 5 minutes of it. Sorry, Adam, continue.
No, it's okay. So sales, I guess, were good when it first came out, which is kind of surprising to me because you had to pay more. Okay, so sales of movies, I should say, were good because you have to pay more to watch it, and you can only watch it on the PSP.
Yep.
Which that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I mean, it should be cheaper.
And yeah, yeah.
I don't think they ever had extras, and it was right. actually slightly cropped as well because it wasn't the
yep.
the same aspect
ratio. It was,
probably get
it was only a 480 by 272 pixel resolution, which mm-hmm. is way lower than a normal DVD.
Yep.
Oh, so, yes.
And I think, I mean, they would cost between $20 and $30.
Yeah, and you can get the same movie for $15.
Exactly.
On DVD.
So, I mean, a lot of people found ways to... take their own movies and encode them, of course, and then because PSPs already had memory sticks, yep. people that or memory stick support, they would do this.
Mm-hmm.
But now there are reports that Walmart and Best Buy are scaling back their UMD displays, and apparently last week Target has decided to discontinue them altogether.
Yes, they never sell. I mean, you go into the stores and they're
right.
take up all this space and they're.
Yep.
Always the same amount of movies there. Never yep. changes.
On top of that, The Hollywood Reporter is saying that Universal and Paramount have completely stopped releasing the films on that format, and other studios are following. So looks like that's coming to an end. And, you know, the other part of the story is that Sony's releasing these new memory stick, what are they called? I'll find it. There you go. Memory stick entertainment packs, which Whoa. Are memory sticks that have support for taking the DVD, special DVDs, and copying movies to them. And
So making it still making it complicated, just
right.
in a different
way. And you can only copy one of four movies. It's this weird thing. And the movies come in, you can only play them at a 240 by 320 resolution on your PSP. So.
Maybe you know this, Adam. Out of the box, can you just take any sort of video file you may have on your computer and convert it to the right format, load it on a memory stick, and drop it in your PSP and have it play? Or does that require some sort of hack?
You don't have to do anything different to your PSP. There's tools that convert it. It's very much like the same way that you can convert any video you have to the iPod's format.
Sure. Okay.
It's basically the same thing.
I think Sony gets what it deserves when it comes to this. I think that the UMD was movie situation was ridiculous, mm-hmm. that it was more expensive, and I think that Sony really confused what they wanted to the PSP to do. You know, is it a media machine? Is it a gaming machine? And I think initially they really wanted it to be a split between games and movies and MP3s, but clearly that was a mistake, and I think they're suffering because of that, and that's why the DS Nintendo DS Lite is doing so well, because they know what it is.
I think if they'd done it differently, it could have worked out really well, because I remember when you brought the PSP in that first day, I mean, the screen is big, and, you know, I could sit and watch probably, you know, a TV show or a movie on that without getting, you know, too
annoyed. But really, the way to do that is to just convert something you have already and put it on a memory stick instead of having to buy another format. Is there any sort of maybe foreshadowing on what will happen to the PS3, considering that, I mean, that's just kind of the bigger thing. They want to do movies and everything, entertainment on that as well.
I think that remains to be seen, and I think we'll find out more in the upcoming months. Adam, next story.
Apparently, we're not allowed to guess.
No.
The only other story, not much of a story, it's Entertainment Weekly did a thing with the top sidekicks of all time.
On newsstands this Monday.
Yes. So I was just going to read top five and maybe a few others, and you guys can chime in. Number one, sidekick of all time, Ed McMahon, which I guess I agree with a little bit, but I don't know. I guess it's before my time.
He's
so
old school sidekick.
Yeah, they were on for many, many years. Yeah. I mean, if you just go on body of work, that's probably a good one.
Mm-hmm. My quick Jess shout out is our favorite Carson joke is whenever he would tell a Lincoln joke and it would not go over well, he would say, "Oh, too soon." That's my Carson, by the way, everyone.
I did not know that.
and then he would
coming up, Rich Little.
Then he would swing a golf club, an invisible golf club.
Yes.
Air golf.
Golfers love cars.
Number two, Robin, of course, to Batman. Mm-hmm. Three, George Costanza to Jerry Seinfeld, which, I don't know. Yeah. They're all kind of sidekicks.
Yep. Yeah.
Three sidekicks.
Yep. Four is Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Do you wish you had that sound effect?
I do.
Very good. Very good.
Oh, MarsCon.
How we miss you.
And number five, I disagree with wholeheartedly, Ethel Mertz.
Oh, from Lucy's. I Love Lucy. Yes. Now, you told me you were cheering for Hitler and Eva Braun.
Well, Eva Braun.
Wow.
No.
That doesn't sound. And then followed by this.
It's Heimler. Heimlin.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Hitler. He had many sidekicks.
Right. Other ones that are funny. Not funny. Interesting, maybe. Ed Norton's on here, but not that Ed Norton. It's
apparently
Ralph.
They were interviewing 90-year-olds
right.
for this.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is good, I guess. You know,
Ralph
everyone's
Crampton.
Involved.
They should think of their demographics, though, when they're making these lists.
Ron and Hermione to Harry Potter, which is always nice.
Yeah,
Robin
good.
Quivers to Howard
there
Stern.
There you go, there we go.
So now, Shane, is your chance to do your Stern impression?
Yeah, that's hot and sexy. Sexy Thanks. And hot.
Not hot.
And by far the funniest one on the list, Andrew Ridgely, sidekick to Michael, George Michael.
Sidekick. Never got the respect and wham that he deserved. So does that close up our scope news of the week?
Yeah, that's all we got.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic.
Good enough.
Let's move on to my favorite segment of the show, the Scope Reviews.
Why is it your favorite, Shane?
I don't know. I just say it because it flows nicely. Okay. Before we get into our review of Superman Returns, I just want to remind everyone how we actually review these and how we score these. We have something called the Scope Score, and it is a scale of monumental importance. We go from zero stars.
Did you slip a Xenu in there?
I think I did. Zero stars, meaning absolutely terrible, which so far nothing has gotten that rating, up to the ultimate score of 4 stars. Also, nothing has got that yet either. I don't know what will, but Snakes in a Plane is a good candidate.
It's, yeah. Definitely the front runner.
I suppose all you new listeners out there are wondering how we calculate this, and all I'm going to say, it's very complicated and mathematical.
It uses delta.
Delta and...
And base 7 mathematics.
Cosine? I don't know. But you don't need to know that yet. So let's get into our one and only review of the week. It's the passé but yet exciting Superman Returns.
The review is passé or the movie is
the
passé?
The movie.
Okay. Our only review for this week, like you said, is the most anticipated movie of the summer, which...
Maybe not.
Which Shane wrote, but I don't think so. Superman Returns.
Let's start with the big question. Where'd you go?
To Krypton.
But you told me it was destroyed ages ago.
It was. Or astronomers thought they found it. I had to see for myself.
Well, you're back. And everyone seems to be pretty happy about it.
Oh, yeah. Not everyone. I read the article, Lois.
Yeah, so did a lot of people. Tomorrow night, they're giving me the Pulitzer.
Why did you write it?
How could you leave us like that? I moved on. So did the rest of us. That's why I wrote it. The world doesn't need a savior. And neither do I.
Very dramatic.
Very.
She is actually kind of glib.
I can't play it. It's on a moratorium.
So as you just heard, Superman, who is played by Brandon Routh, has been away from Earth for 5 years, but now he's come back. However, he faces the heartbreaking realization that the woman he loves, Lois Lane, star of To Win a Date with Ted Hamilton, she's Kate Bosworth, has moved on with her life. At the same time, archenemy Lex Luthor, played by Kevin, don't forget to pay it forward, Spacey, and his dim-witted gal pal, played by Parker Posey, plot to take Superman down once and for all.
Do you know the story of Prometheus? No, of course you don't. Prometheus was a god who stole the power of fire from the other gods and gave control of it to mortals. In essence, he gave us technology. He gave us power.
So we're stealing fire? In the Arctic?
Actually, sort of. You see, whoever controls technology controls the world. The Roman Empire ruled the world because they built roads. The British Empire ruled the world because they built ships. America, the atom bomb, and so on and so forth. I just want what Prometheus wanted.
Sounds great, Lex. But you're not a god.
Gods are selfish beings who fly around in little red capes and don't share their power with mankind. No, I don't want to be a god. I just want to bring fire to the people. And I want my cut.
He's always so well
A little bit of weird Lex echo in there, isn't that?
Well, that's they're on a ship, I believe. Ah, okay. And you can hear kind of the rumbling of the sea and the billiard balls as they clatter.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So can Superman save the world from the madman? Shane, can he?
I don't know.
Can he win back the woman he loves?
Maybe.
And what's the deal with Lois's kid anyway?
He's weird.
find out in Superman Returns.
Dun, dun, dun. Why are you pointing at me?
Because you started off.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to come out and say I like the movie. I was happy.
You're coming out and you say you like the movie, or?
That's for you. That's just for you. I like the movie. I didn't get a real.
Stop copying me.
I didn't get a big rousing feeling like I do at some of the bigger movies that I really enjoyed. The Superman moments are great. The special effects are great. I didn't really care for Kate Bosworth. I found Parker Posey to be annoying. But I think the general sentiment is we need a Superman movie at some point without Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. That isn't Superman 3 or 4 because most people don't like those. But overall, I liked the movie. I thought it was fun.
Thanks, Jared. I liked it a lot, too. There were things about it that definitely weren't perfect. I don't know that it was better than whichever Spider-Man movie I liked more that I can't remember.
3.
And I don't think it was better than Batman for... Which was the...
Batman Begins?
Begins.
The latest one.
Thank you.
The first one.
I almost...
And the last one.
I almost said I liked
where
the George Clooney one
the structural integrity of all the riffs of Gotham City have been built up to support the Batmobile.
But I did think it was very good. I disagree with you on Parker Posey. I think she was the best cast.
I should probably say that I don't like her overall.
Okay.
So
I do
she's
like
not
her
gonna
overall.
Wow me in this role.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean I thought now is Kitty the same Kitty from the first movie?
I don't believe so, okay. But the same cut from the same cloth.
Okay. Because I mean I kind of just compared her to that character. And yep. And she's similar, but I thought she was played really well.
With a heart.
I mean I agree with you on the Lex Luthor thing. I don't find him to be a good villain, really, anyway, even through all the Superman lore. But I thought Kevin Spacey played him adequately, nothing all that great. And I thought Brandon Routh was very Superman-esque. And I will say that the score was really, 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 mm-hmm. really good. And I, you know, kind of got choked up a little bit there.
Very nice. I kind of agree with you guys. I think it was a good to great movie somewhere in between there. Not the summer super blockbuster that I thought it was going to be, but still quite good. Overall, I felt it was a real good tribute to the original Superman movies, and I appreciate the effort that went in to try to tie this stuff together. I think with Bryan Singer deciding to not...
Sorry, the cat stole my chair. He's sitting with me.
Come on, cat, you're ruining everything. Anyway, I there's my anyway. Only the fifth of the show.
Bing!
Bryan Singer keeping the beats of those original movies in this one is a very heavy undertaking, and to make that successful like he did is something that's very impressive.
Yeah, I don't like the originals. I don't like the first two movies.
Okay.
And I find them to be campy and...
They kind of are.
They are slightly dated. But, I mean, just the fact that there's like a respect given to that,
well, right.
which you don't see very often in movies.
Yeah.
You know, I
think that...
Yeah, with like the opening title sequence was...
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
I think
that.
If he had been... I mean, because, you know, he had to work within that framework.
Yep.
I think if he had been able to reset it, it could have been even better.
Yeah, but. I think you're probably right. Speaking of that, I think the essence of the characters are there, you know, both from the original movies and the comic books. But when they strayed from that, I felt that it was appropriate for the movie. And I didn't really hate Lex Luthor as much as maybe I thought I would. I mean, he is playing, Kevin Spacey is playing a character who has an established history, as they all are. So there are certain parameters that you have to work within. I liked the acting. I liked Brandon. I thought Kate was okay, maybe not as punchy and sort of two packs a day.
I didn't like her.
Fun as Margot Kidder was in the first one.
She's thick-skinned, though.
But she is thick-skinned.
Not nary an abrasion from the...
From the plane accident that we can't show you because it's visual, and this is not. And I feel like the special effects were fantastic. Never a quibble with that. And overall, I feel the movie was pretty darn good, and I was kind of like Adam. There were moments where I sort of, I don't say choked up, but I was... kind of impressed by the whole undertaking.
Yeah.
So
and it's clearly that them using the score to manipulate our feelings, but it's still, I mean, they did a very good job with it,
and it works.
Yeah.
So let's see what the Scope score is for this movie, Superman Returns.
The Scope score is 3 stars.
So pretty good score, you know.
Yeah,
above average,
not a
nice,
four, but
a nice solid B. But you know, after all of our talking, you'd think, wait, we've covered everything there is about Superman. Oh, you are incorrect. Our final segment from MarsCon 2006 that we're going to play for you today is...
You just did it again, by the way.
Did I? Yeah. So 6. I really wanted a ding, so maybe we'll get you like
you
a little...
You called it MarsCon.
A bell. Did I call it MarsCon?
A little bell.
Son of a bleep. Convergence 2006. We call it the Scope Debate Club. This is when we all went at each other about the movie Superman Returns, starring Earl. So let's play it without further delay.
Now we're talking the Scope Debate Club.
Scope Debate.
We brought in Earl Lucas.
Wait, I need to put my bow tie on.
Poor attempt at humor.
Okay, I'm ready.
Scope Debate Club.
Theater of the mind, Shane. You're always saying that.
The
theater
first time,
of the mind.
The
you should be surprised
ever.
I'm even paying attention at this point.
Scope Debate Club. We're bringing in Earl Lucas, who saw the movie. I saw it with him. He wasn't very excited about it. He walked out being very frustrated. Earl Lucas... Superman Returns, your take. Go ahead.
Make it
brief.
I'll try here. There's a lot to go over. I got to say, I'm sorry I'm in a room with people that don't have very high expectations. Shane, your review is probably the most, better.
Yep.
Brandon Routh was a good Superman. The rest of the movie was just nothing. There's no plot. The kid and him going away absolutely was never explained. Nothing happened in the film. No bad guys are captured. Because he's Superman. He captures bad guys. Lex Luthor, I'm on an island, and as for the review of Lex Luthor, Kevin Spacey's Luthor was campier than Gene Hackman's, and I didn't even like Gene Hackman. He's all
what
like,
are you talking about?
He gets. What are you talking
How
about?
How dare you?
I will say it. And Kevin Spacey said in an interview,
the game.
Said, I just showed up and read the line because I like to have sex with
First of all, you're making that up. That was never said.
No, he did say he just showed up on the sets and read the
line. No, he didn't say
yes,
that.
Yes, he did. I'll
no,
pull out
didn't.
The interview.
Isn't that an actor's job?
I didn't like the
movie. That is the definition of an actor.
And here's the thing. You know what it was? It was a bad remake of the first film.
What are you talking about?
But with amazing special effects.
I said good day.
Let's see. Lex Luthor destroys some land, sells some land. Saw that in the first one.
That's true.
Superman talked to his dad about the father becoming the son 15 times in the first one. Oh, that happened in this one.
They just
we have some kid that has this terrified look on his face through the whole film. And the kid
just
was
like in the first
Earl
one.
Earl says that the kid is a terrible actor.
The kid is a terrible actor. He had one look on his face.
He didn't kill anyone with a piano. The bolt tipped.
When Luther was...
You're gay.
Hey, look. When Luther was holding the kryptonite to the kid's face, I couldn't tell what he was doing because he still had that retarded look. I think,
For people with an IQ over 100, it didn't affect.
I've got to ask you. What are they going to do for a sequel? They have completely screwed the series.
I don't write that stuff, so I don't know.
And then Bill over here. Well, Bryan Singer
Adam,
did.
Adam,
I don't like anything
no,
Bryan Singer
stop
does.
Stop talking.
Earl, stop sir, talking. Series. And Luke wants in.
How did they screw the series?
What?
How?
Pick his mic. I'm sorry?
The senator from the delegation of Luke Ski would like to make a comment.
The great Luke Ski.
Can we do a Superman movie with a villain... Other than
Lex Luthor. Thank you.
And you know what? Like I said, he's a terrible villain. Fine.
No, he's a great villain in a comic. If the movies ruin him.
Okay, fine. So then how do you love the first four? Okay, the first two. If you think
he's
been
terrible. You know
what
the best Superman film is? Superman, because you know what? I saw it already. I didn't need Superman
Return. No.
Superman 2 has got to be the best out of the series.
Why?
Three villains.
Because they make up new powers for him?
What the... What?
Suddenly the room has come alive. I love it.
Explain to me.
I don't think you even saw that.
I started to care again.
The first three with hatred and
okay,
Bill, famous comedian, hates cerebral palsy. Go ahead, Bill. Everyone. Jess.
No matter what Bryan Singer and Kevin Spacey does, he'll love it. He said.
Like I said, Bill hates cerebral palsy. Go ahead. Bill, please.
He said it.
If I can do a updated reprise of... Mark Twain's soliloquy.
Are they going to be in six words?
If I can do an update to Mark Twain's soliloquy of
"You're not a man of brevity, are you?"
Defense of Mary Shelley, updated to say in defense of Kevin Spacey.
There's no defense for him in that film. He's a great actor, but he was wasted in that movie.
Wasted in that movie?
What was he on?
Bill, please get
no,
to your point.
Talent was
okay.
Bill, make it up.
Here's the deal. In the original Superman movies, which this Superman here was a sequel to Superman 2, a loose
no,
sequel
was,
to
it,
Superman
this was
2.
Superman 2. They didn't even have to. They didn't even reference Superman.
I agree 2. With Earl, by the way. Go ahead.
It goes right after the first
How
one.
About That's, Bill cut his mic. Gets to have a quiet opinion.
Everyone, quiet for Bill. Go.
Okay.
Nap time.
Back to me.
Thank you very
it's
much.
On to you, man. Go. We're waiting.
Okay. Here's the deal. In the first four Superman movies, here were their villains. Lex Luthor, as played by Gene Hackman. Despite what you think, Gene Hackman's a great actor and f-ing did the best what he could with that character, which f-ing made it out to be a f-ing flamboyant.
He actually convinced
you have more words of that in your vocabulary, please.
Please, Bill.
Flamboyant caricature of what Lex Luthor was in the comic books. And what Richard Pryor doing some scientist and...
That's part three, and Robert Vaughn was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Adam, fight with Earl again.
Ooh. And some weird guy playing Zod.
Terrence Stamp.
Oh, yeah. F***ing horrible actor.
What are you
Kneel
talking about?
Kneel before Zod.
And well, I would love
Kneel
to see you do
Zod.
That.
Get
on a mic and kick this guy's ass.
Kneel before
so
Zod.
Wait. Hang on. I got to sum up what he
Kneel before Zod. You know what? Then you're a real nerd then if you're going to stand before that.
Okay, quiet.
Wait.
Bill. Bill, why is this a good Superman movie?
Why is this a good
he
Superman
He gave us
movie?
Six words, and they really weren't words.
No, yeah, go ahead.
Bryan Singer,
please.
Kevin Spacey.
Why is this a good Superman movie?
That's what I
Because
asked.
It had all of the elements of the first four Superman movies
what?
Like, wrapped up.
Are you guys watching different Superman movies than me?
Earl,
I watched these Superman films, and they were like, good.
Earl, why is this a bad Superman movie?
Because there's no plot, there's no story, there's nothing. The film ends exactly the way it started. Lois Lane and Superman are meant to be together, and at the end of the film, they're not. She has to marry this guy. Now, what's he supposed to do? Well, that's my kid. I'm breaking up the family. No, they paint Superman as a terrible role model. He gave up his powers. If we go with the Superman 2, he gave up his powers to be with Lois because he's a responsible man.
Superman Harry. Is fake. It's real. It's not real.
We're talking. What?
Oh.
Wow. Carrie is the smartest person in the room.
You've
torn apart the fabric of this entire show.
And wait, here's the
I'd like to point out she is wearing both a Scope t-shirt and a Nick Adams shirt while she said that.
Luke Ski can be found at San Diego Comic-Con halftime. Thank you.
LUKESKI.com.
Went through the film. Explain why he was...
I can't hear you.
Any final comments to get this under control?
I have no comments.
I'm just finishing up here.
We're going to go round robin. Earl Lucas, talk without being interrupted.
All right, look here. Look, Brandon Routh, great Superman, good character. Too bad he had a plot that restricted him from doing what he could do.
Thank you, Earl Lucas. Adam, go ahead.
There's a lot of problems with the movie. It's not perfect. I think that his Lex Luthor's plan is terrible.
I'm going to do what I did.
Remember when you said only one person's going to talk when we do a round robin?
I'm sorry, I forgot the mic was in front of my face.
Sure. Guess what, Earl? Take his talking.
Turning your mic off.
We'll do this sober.
Say whatever you want. We're redoing this next weekend anyway.
Bill, please, closing comments.
Kevin Spacey is the world's greatest badass, and I've been in love with Parker Posey since Party Girl. Da 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 da.
And he goes into Star Wars. Jared, please bring Serenity now to this comment.
The only thing I could do to bring Serenity to this is to delete everything we've recorded at this point.
It's going down. Earl, final comment.
It's a two-parter. One, Bill would have sex with Kevin Spacey if he
number
could.
Number one.
I'm not going to deny that.
There you go. Because he's not that he's good, but he's not that great. The final word. If honestly, I cried watching the Superman film because they had such a potential to make an amazing film that would be a tribute to the first three, and they dropped it. It was like a George Lucas remake of the first film.
Earl Lucas, we'll talk about this later. Sober.
I am sober. I've been waiting for so long for the show to go. I'm sober now.
But everyone isn't.
I know.
Luke Ski is sober.
Luke Ski's always sober. He got a Coke, but he's not sharing.
I can't bring this to a final point, so I will say to be continued.
So there you go.
Adam, inaugural scope debate.
I'm not going to say much. Jared's not going to say much, but Adam took copious amounts of notes, so please, Adam, get your opinion out.
I will say that.
Adam, your rebuttal.
I forgot how annoyed I was at Earl.
We could hear that.
Yeah,
I think
that came across. And like I said earlier, I was already just in a mood. But, okay, so I just wanted to point out a couple things. First, he pointed out that no bad guys were captured. But are bad guys really ever captured in movies that are going to be series?
The captures were implied.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't actually have to show him picking them up and flying him over to the jail and say, here you go, here are your bad guys.
I mean, it's only a Superman movie if villains are captured, I guess, according to Earl.
Yeah. I mean, Ra's al Ghul wasn't captured in the end of Batman.
None of them are.
Magneto is always captured and get. Who cares if they're captured? Yeah. They're going to get out anyway. The fact that he says that Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor is campier than Gene Hackman's it baffles me. I don't understand that.
That's not true. Sorry, Earl.
He points out that the kid was a bad actor, but the kids are always bad actors.
And he wasn't a bad actor.
Just a standard kid.
Yep. He didn't say much.
There's no possible chance for a sequel because they've ruined it. I don't understand that. I don't understand what in the world
it's
he's
been
talking
ruined
about
for him.
Yeah. Well, good. We won't have to do this again in 3 years. And So
there you go. Shall we close the doors on the first Scope Debate Club?
Earl, please send your responses to comments@thescopeshow.com.
We cannot wait for that. That ought to be good. I think
we'll fight with knives.
I think Earl and Adam definitely will be to be continued on this one.
I think the fight club's going to get off the ground.
Yep, Nerd Fight Club coming at us. So, let's wrap up that segment and move into the final segment of Under the Scope. It's our coming soon. What's coming soon, Adam?
Lots of stuff that we're going to fly through. Some music coming out this Tuesday, July 18th. Golden Smog. Another fine day. Don't know. Method Man, 421, The Day After, and Helmet, Monochrome.
Nothing exciting there.
Actually, heard of all of them.
Oh, I have never heard of the first or the third. And the following Tuesday, July 25th, Alien Ant Farm with Up in the Attic and
I didn't know that.
Farrell Williams. Yep. We'll call it Farrell Williams. In my mind.
Formerly of NERD, I believe. And that
super producer
and your Alien Ant Farm, I think, is a greatest hits with a couple new songs. I think that's what it is, but I'm not sure.
Greatest hits off of two albums?
I don't know. I'm not positive. We'll double check.
I do not like NERD, and even though everyone tells me to always listen to it,
I never got into it.
Interesting to listen to.
I try very hard.
Not my thing.
Okay.
What's coming out?
Movies. This Friday, Lady in the Water, M. Night Shyamalan's newest movie, which...
What a twist!
Yes, what a twist.
No twist in this one.
I'm excited about it.
Clerks 2.
Excited.
Monster House.
Good reviews for it.
Great reviews
great
for
reviews.
It. Amazing.
I don't know that I great care, reviews.
Okay, that's fine. Netflix will I'll get put on the queue.
Did it?
I won't see it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
As Jess would say, she doesn't watch movies for babies.
and my super ex-girlfriend, Ivan Reitman's movie about Uma Thurman getting dumped and
really
then her boyfriend.
On that one.
The wife is really excited to see that movie.
I could go either way. Clerks 2, I am excited to bash, so that's good.
Wow.
And
how do we reconcile 0 and 4 scores? If Adam gives it 0 and one of us gives it 4.
We better hope that none of us see it.
If any of you give it a 4, I'm quitting the show.
Okay, it's probably not a 4.
Next. I wanted to say that Lady in the Water not getting very good screener reviews.
Yeah,
so far.
Just too bad.
But people really hate him for some reason now.
I think it's unfortunate.
He's a bit pretentious because he puts M. Night Shyamalan on every film. It's like, come on, dude, just chill off. Just put a film off that you directed, but you don't have to put your name all over it.
Yeah.
The following Friday, July 28th, Miami Vice comes out.
I'm excited for
good
that.
Good early buzz on it.
You know, I'm kind of split on it because I really like Michael Mann. He created the original series. Exactly. He's doing this one. I mean, so it has a good chance.
This
but
is
it's
the
like,
kind of movie he knows how to make.
Yeah.
It might be 3 hours long, and that could be a problem, but...
I'll wait and see. The Ant Bully, which is another animated comedy.
With
about
ants.
Ants.
Well, the movie for babies.
So this is the third,
that
I
is
guess.
A baby movie.
You know what? I saw the trailer for that, and I thought it was from DreamWorks because it looked a lot like
I thought it was Ants 2.
But it's not, you know.
It's not.
And John Tucker Must Die, which is starring Ashanti.
Yes. And the garden boy from Desperate Housewives.
And the girl from American Dreams on NBC.
Yep.
On
so
TV,
crap.
Big Brother has started. Big Brother All-Stars,
yep.
Which Shane and I are enjoying. And
Jared has started.
I have seen one show. I will try to catch it where I can. It's
we may be reviewing that on our next show.
I would like that. It is one of my favorite summer
it's not bad.
Reality
I have
shows.
To watch more than just the live show because it didn't give me a real good impression of what the show is like. And I did watch Big Brother somewhat in the first season, so I kind of know, but I know it's really expanded since then.
It's much better now. Yeah. Who Wants to Be a Superhero? Oh, no, sorry. Rockstar Supernova, which I won't be watching.
Not very good so far.
Who Wants to Be a Superhero on Sci-Fi?
Stan Lee's new reality show.
Oh.
Earl Lucas should have been on that show.
Making more money. And 30 Days starts up again on FX, which is Morgan Spurlock's show. He's the... Super Size Me guy.
Yep.
And this is the second season. I really liked the first season.
It was interesting. It is his show, but he's rarely in it.
Right, right.
He maybe do one. He'll do one
basically,
segment.
Basically, they put someone in a place out of their usual whatever for 30 days. Mm-hmm. And it can be, you know, a white guy that's never even seen Muslims before and he lives with Muslims. Mm-hmm. Or last year there was a weird one where a woman wanted to be a booze hound for 30 days to show her daughter the bad things about drinking.
Well, that really, could be interesting.
Really, all it was I think she wanted to drink.
What
more.
Is that on FX?
Yeah,
FX.
It's an interesting show. You'd probably like it, Jared.
On Wednesdays, DVD Woo. This Tuesday. The I think we previewed these last time. The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
I kept that in
She-Ra
there.
And the Incredible Hulk.
Jared Briscoe excited Jr., about Briscoe.
Very excited.
Buying
one of my
it
favorite shows of all. I
buy
it's
it
so,
Tuesday.
It's
Jeez
so
Louise.
Expensive though. It's like $80 or something.
Is it coming
MSRP?
Out that expensive?
Yeah.
It's the complete season.
I didn't get my Best Buy ad this
but
week,
but it's only
so I don't
one
know.
Season. It's kind of ridiculously really? Expensive.
And the following Tuesday, July 25th, is actually exciting for me. We have Animaniacs Volume 1. Not that. That's not what I was excited about. Benchwarmers, which I saw and was underwhelmed by. Go figure. Chappelle's Show, The Lost Episodes, which is weird because those are the ones that are on TV right now.
Same simultaneous.
There you go. You can watch them and then you can buy them.
Final Destination 3, which Jess and I always think is funny because apparently death has to be tricky with the way he kills people.
And he has to get ever more inventive because they keep making movies.
Punky Brewster Season 3, Three's Company Season 7, and the one I am excited about, Pinky and the Brain Volume 1, because I definitely thought Pinky and the Brain was very funny and way more.
Are there any movies coming out?
Not on my list.
It seems to be all television.
No. My sources say no. Final Destination 3 was a movie. But
there we go.
That's true.
I will. I want to just say real quickly, even though we're probably running out of time, that my favorite part of
Pinky
in the
time.
Brain. Oh, okay. Was
we tried,
we don't have to talk fast anymore.
There was a bit where they made fun of Winnie the Pooh. And it was starring Christopher Walken instead of Christopher Robbins, and Al Gore instead of Eeyore, and it was hilarious.
Very nice.
Very clever.
And for all you nerds out there, those are not the complete first seasons. They're just, like, say, the first 25 episodes. So it's a good way to milk you of
volume
more
one,
money.
Not season one.
Volume does not equal season. And I think that's it
for coming soon.
Very nice, Adam. Good job. Thanks. So let's leave the Under the Scope and head into what our viewers like to, listeners like to. Call us and write us and all that stuff.
Under the Scope.
Doing so well until I completely got chop blocked by my own tongue.
That's okay.
Jared, we have listeners.
Well,
please tell us what
that's
they're
what
saying.
They'd have us believe. We've only got one comment. This goes back to show number 7, the best of show. This is from Mike. Mike says, hi, first off, I should mention that I am your number one fan. The scope was great, and I was excited to see a recap show. What a great surprise! Little snippets of the best parts of all your shows. I'd be able to just play that 24/7 instead of the homemade MP3s that I've spliced together. Imagine how disappointed I was when I listened and found out that you didn't recap all of the episodes. Isn't that how recap shows are typically done? There was some witty banter. Go Earl! Everyone loves Earl. But overall, I was disappointed. I would recommend watching a recap show from Friends to see how you guys should do it in the future.
We don't watch audio podcasts,
no.
So-called Mike.
Mike closes after I fast-forward through some other comments of his. Overall, I give the recap show a score of C-. Why not a 0 to 4? I mean, haven't we set the precedent? Hopefully next week's episode will be better. Oh, and don't forget to invite Adam this time.
Snap.
Yeah.
Was that you, Adam? Was that a friend of yours?
That was one of my guildmates.
Oh, was it really?
From World of Warcraft, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Those World of Warcraft people. Attitude City. Listeners, those are the kind of letters we like. Mean and nasty.
Mike,
yeah, and sassy.
Mike has a level 60 paladin, priest, and mage.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you have something interesting that you'd like to say to us, you can send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com. You can visit the website at thescopeshow.com and just comment on the post for this particular episode, and that'll be great. You can also head over if you want to have us get an exposure to a larger audience and increase it, and you know, so your friends have heard about it and everyone will go scope crazy. Head over to podcastalley.com and you can vote for us. And we're also listed in iTunes, so subscribe through there and maybe we'll make it to the top 1,000 at some point.
I don't know if anyone's reviewed our show on iTunes.
I don't think they have.
But anybody can, and we probably should. But all you listeners out there, all you Convergence converts who are listening.
Even if you're already subscribed.
Yep, just go in there, let us know what you think, and hopefully it's a good puffed super review.
I worry that it will confuse people because iTunes goes to 5 stars. And people won't.
Oh, that's not our scope scale. Scope score.
Well, just put in 4 and, you know, everything will be okay. I should also mention that the scope sounds this week came from the great Luke Ski. You can find out all about him at lukeski.com. That's LukeSki.com.
Very
back
good.
To you, Shane.
Thank you very much. I think fantastic show this week, guys. I mean, we are back to basics. 3 of us running it like it needs to be run.
We're dropping it like it's hot.
A lot of great things happening. Next week's show will be of interest because I think we're going to go back and cover some more Convergence territory. I mean, we've got hours and hours of interviews of some of the local con attendees. I mean,
maybe singular on that, an hour.
I'm going to really pump it up for everybody. Hours and hours.
I like to keep it real.
Adam was involved in that, so as was Bill, the famous comedian. Jess was there. Also on Friday night, our good friend Sarah, who went out and did some interviews for us. She got some stuff out there, and she might be in. Who knows? I mean, it's going to be crazy. Also of interest, I will be going on vacation soon, so that will impact when we record, if I'll be on the next show, so you'll just have to wait and see how that happens.
Lots of logistical challenges coming ahead.
I'd be remiss if I didn't thank everyone as well. I mean, we did thank Luke Ski for being on the show. I'm once again going to thank the great Luke Ski. He made it happen. He was serious and funny at the same time.
Can you do a shout-out?
A shout-out to Luke Ski. Also, I want to thank our fantastic announcer, Tony Partington.
Always a hard worker.
Bringing it every week. Silent when he needs to be. Talking when he should be.
Thanks, Tony.
He knows his place.
I want to thank Convergence, even though they have no idea who we are. I want to thank the Geeks du Jour, or the Dorks du Jour, for making us go up to the next level of our game.
Exactly.
I want to thank everyone that participated in our live show at Convergence, even though it was a train wreck. I want to thank Adam, and I want to thank Jared.
Thank you.
Also,
you're welcome.
We got to get our plugs in for the day. Jared, any appearances or anything you want to plug?
I had a rumor that I might be appearing at Pirates of the Caribbean later today.
Okay.
And I will be reappearing at work since I've had the last week off.
Very nice. Adam, plugs, appearances?
My friend Aaron's band played Convergence on Friday, and she asked if I would mention them, so I will.
That was... Oh, I didn't even know.
Milk Bar.
Okay, cool.
Maybe you saw them?
I didn't get a chance to see them, but okay. I should have now that I... I'll just go back in time.
I hear good things.
Yeah, people are talking.
And you can check them out at milkbar.us or on their MySpace at myspace.com/milkbar.
Fantastic.
I will not be doing any. I'll be leveling my druid to level 60. That's where I will be appearing.
Got
to
have your priorities.
Yes.
I myself have no appearances, no plugs, because I'm a loser. And with that, let's end this show. This is Scope Show number 8. Cruising on to number 10. It's very exciting. There's a 9 in between there.
Usually.
Thank you. Come again.
If you're going to be in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and would like to participate in a taping of The Scope, send your request to tickets@thescopeshow.com. Please mention in what special way you can contribute to the show.